This begins sound transfer of material for Richard Brick's film, Last Stand Farmer. This is Wild Track, sound roll number one.
Eats it up pretty fast. If you take a real big rig, slabs, no more than get them in, then they're gone.
Yeah.
Like Warren Tunes up there. That's a 6 by 16. 6 feet wide, 16 feet long. Tremendous fire in there.
So he needs maple or something, right?
Yeah. He burns everything. He throws them in 8-10 inches through.
Uh-huh. You were telling me how old your rig was?
Oh, some of the equipment. I don't know just how old the arch is. We bought that second hand. But we've got buckets. It was bought in 1913 and still in use. And we got a gathering tank. It was bought in 1922. It's still going.
That's good use.
Yep, that's extra good use. And it was built more than it was ever used. It has been used every year, but it's been slid off, you know, and split open and had to be soldered. And still, it's a pretty good tank now.
I saw the sled for my first time.
Yeah.
You could pull an elephant on that sled.
Yeah.
It's pretty rugged looking.
Yeah, he made the whole original sled to begin with. He made it. Runners, beams, and everything. A lot better than it is now, because he's a lot better worker than I am. But that's been in, God, I guess that's been in service for 25 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
That one sled. Something goes hell, you rebuild it. And he's got a good one back of the track that he just built here last year, wasn't it?
As long as you've got the iron, you can go
to
work with it.
Up, up. And then they begin to level off, you know. They're kind of average. But things don't average now. One thing is so damn high, and the other one, and even at the high cost of labor, I got they don't level off. The people are getting $100, $125 a week, and what they have to pay the state and the government, and old age. God damn, a lot of them ain't got money enough for the week. They're running out of money before the week's up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that ain't good. That ain't business. Back, say, 30 years ago, just before I went into service, say 42, a man made $18 a week. God, he could buy his groceries and make his payments if he had mortgage and stuff on $18 a week, a lot better than he can $120 now.
Mm-hmm. The bank changed its name. You see the new sign?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
That's a damn good place down there. This bank to cash a check, and that's about all it's good for.
Yeah.
They don't like me any better than I like them. Same old cast is back of it as it was when the banks crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Old Lionel over to Bethel.
Oh, same man?
I God, if you wanted to borrow some money to buy a truck with, he'd want you to buy it by auction. And then when he got all around, he wouldn't let you even have the money to buy the auction. Oh, he was one of them when they thought they had me right where they wanted me. Well, I slipped out. They thought they had their hands on me, but they didn't. No, they had me all sold out, you know.
Had there been an auction?
Huh?
Had there been an auction, or was
no, it? No, hadn't been nothing. Hadn't been nothing said to me.
What'd they do?
I had it all sold to another party, all ready to make out the paper. Thought I was going to come down and let them sell the whole damn thing.
Oh, they had a buyer, though.
Yeah, they had a buyer already, and they would already sell it to him. I allowed it. I had a year, and I'd take my year. And then they'd sell it for foreclosure. And sell it right there for the dollar, right here. And they was mad ever since. I never could borrow a dollar or anything of them. They was a crooked bunch. And then the big receiver come in. You see the banks crashed, the bank holiday, you heard of that. And the money was all impounded and everything down government. It was back of these banks and everything. Boy, if you had money in the bank, a lot of women made money washing over the wash tub to put the kids through school. They couldn't draw a dollar. They couldn't get a dollar of their own money. It was impounded right in that bank there. Mm-hmm. And then they sent up this receiver from Boston. He called me in one day and says, I understand you've had a few words down here. And I says, yeah, kind of hot words too. But I says, I didn't damn want them to get out of the jail. Well, he says, I've got good news for you. I says, what's that? He says, I got 4 years to straighten this bank up. And he says, you got 4 years to straighten your business up. Now he says, go ahead and see what you can do in 4 years. And then he says, borrow the rest of it and pay it off. Well, that was the difference in the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, how about the rest of them? He says, they ain't got a damn thing to say about it. He says, I'm big boss around here now. He says, I'm running the show. So I went to work for him, cutting pulpwood. That was the starting of cutting pulpwood around here. And I worked for him 4 years, cut it in half. And then I borrowed it, the rest of it off a new bank. And then it was the same damn thing, hound, hound, every time you turned around. They wanted their money back. And I finally borrowed the money off Stanley Wilson here in town and paid him up.
See the man who became governor?
Yeah, he was governor of the state of Vermont a while. Yeah. Used to live up where Arnold Preston does now.
Yeah.
Then I went ahead. Never asked me for a dollar from the time I borrowed it till I paid him the last dollar. And I got no use for this bank down. And the fellows that run it.
Well, they call it the Proctor, but it's still the same bank.
Yeah, same big bride. I hired the money from the new bank after they set it up through a director. The same bank. Through a director down in South Orleans, a fellow by the name of Goodridge. He was a good man. But they didn't like it. And they held out of me from the time I borrowed it to the time I paid them.
Send you letters or come up here?
Yeah, letter in the mail. Making difference if you had the interest paid up and made your payment. I still was looking for more. And just before I went in the service, they heard I'd been drafted into service. I got a letter from one of the directors that understood that I was going into service to call in the bank and settle up my notes before I went. And he was in the market for cattle, you know, and he figured he'd come in, he'd buy the cattle for what he wanted to pay for them. And I went down to see him down at the bank. I said, I just signed the notes, paid the interest and paid the payment. What the hell's the trouble you fellas? Oh, well, I was going into service and I got square up in notes. And I said, God, I wasn't born yesterday. I says, I'm going into service, and you won't get one goddamn dollar till I get out. When I get out, I'll pay you up. And they couldn't draw a dollar. I was in the government service.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't seize nothing, and they couldn't demand a payment. And that's another thing. When I come back, I couldn't borrow a dollar off them after I got them paid up.
Because they were mad.
Yep, the same now. I couldn't go in there. I went in and see the little fellow that was over from Bethel. I wanted to buy a new chainsaw. And I had money enough to make a down payment on the chainsaw. And I wanted to borrow the balance. Mm-hmm. Instead of putting it through a public finance, because they cost like hell when you put them through public finance. Well, he says, sure, I guess it'll be all right. He says, I'll find out for sure. Of course, it's a branch of Bethel Bank where I was in. old Dinah was over there. He wouldn't let me up a goddamn cent. He remembered back. And he came back, and I went in to see him on Monday morning, and he says, I don't know why, but he said they didn't want you to have it. I says, I know why.
That's 40 years ago.
Yeah, 40 years ago.
40 years ago.
Yeah, he'd remembered from 40 years. So I went down to Joe's down there in Lebanon, told him I wanted a chainsaw. Do you want to finance it? And he said, sure, we'll finance it. They put it right to the finance outfit over there in Lebanon. Well, it's higher. You pay a bigger rate of interest, and you're insured and everything. In case you get killed or something, it's all paid. And that costs you money, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the kind of...
But by God, they never... They got their payments practically just when they were due, and of course they could borrow it up $1,200 if I wanted it.
That's strange, because the bank is, they're kicking, but they're making interest all along. Yeah. That's all, that ought to keep them happy.
Yeah, and these finance outfits, they make a big rate of interest, but you got to be insured if you get anything down at the bank, so it's got to be insured, so if you get killed automatically, that's paid. They can't lose. Hell, they use me fine down there. Only just the high rate of interest I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going right down to Joe's down there up on chainsaw. I finance it themselves. Go right down there and get a new chainsaw tomorrow. I want it.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Helen that the fellow who's going to pick up the syrup, he's waiting for the check to come in the mail.
Yeah.
But he figured he'd... His name is George. He's turns out he's my friend, and
yeah.
He's going to come over maybe Thursday or Friday. He'll have the check.
Oh, that'll be good.
I was the one who told him you had the syrup.
How much blood
did
you?
At the, they had this meeting, and they said, anyone know anyone with any syrup? And there were only two or three people who knew. Someone said Roger Gilman had some, and someone said Mattoon had some, and I said you had some.
I guess Roger ain't got any left. I don't think he has.
No?
No, I think it's... Well, I know Dave. He'd got rid of all of his. And I think Roger had. I think when he was up here with the mowing machine, he'd get rid of practically all of it then. But I'm pretty sure Warren's got some. And he wanted more than what we had. So he can step right to the phone and call Warren up.
Yeah, and what's nice is they sell it for just what they pay for.
Yeah.
Because they're not trying to make any money. They had 10% for their office and telephone expenses. And
I'd a lot rather sell to a man like that because somebody's getting a benefit out of it.
No one's putting it high to anybody.
Yeah, nobody's making a big profit on your work and you're helping other people that have to buy it.
I know, because you told me about the time you saw it broken down into those little containers.
Yeah.
At the high price. It's a different feeling.
Yeah. I sold to that Allen over there, and we sold it for $8, right? Sold it for $8, and we happened to be over there in the fall looking for some cucumbers to pickle, so I stopped his place. And I asked him how business was. Not very good. He's pretty gruffy. And he says, people drive in here with great big packets and Cadillacs, and he says they hate to pay $4 a quart for syrup. I got he bought the same syrup off me for $8, and he just changed it over into quart containers and doubled his money. I don't like to sell to anybody like that. I'd a lot rather sell to somebody who's going to eat it.
Yeah.
Just same with potatoes or anything else. I'd a lot rather sell to somebody who's going to eat them, and I would somebody's going to make a profit on it. I don't like to have somebody make a profit on me.
No,
I never did.
It's hard enough work doing it, making the product ready to sell.
Of course, anybody's entitled to a little profit, but why they double their money and you do the work, I don't like that. And then we sold another stand over there. And all the syrup they bought that spring, our syrup was the only syrup that they were satisfied. Never said a word last spring for syrup or nothing.
No, it's first quality syrup.
Yeah, it's good syrup. I wouldn't sell anybody anything before. It's be just what I say it is. If anything should happen, if that gallon of syrup had spoiled, I want to bring it right back and I'll give another gallon of syrup.
That ever happened?
Well,
not
yeah.
For a long time.
Probably. Yeah, I got a gallon back, but I always figured it was a fraud. Because the syrup wasn't anything like my syrup when they brought it back, and it is spoiled. And it was black and shit, and I don't believe it could ever spoiled. And been that dark. But I give them another gallon of syrup. Because sell anybody anything, I want them to be satisfied. But you couldn't put a guarantee, because you don't know. Or people might take that syrup. They could unload your syrup out of them cans, fill it with something else, and come back onto you.
Yeah.
Same as I told woman over there. I said, there's the syrup. I took over about 50 gallons to her. I said, there's the syrup. You can open a gallon can, pick your gallon can anywhere in the box, pick you a 2-quart can. Test the syrup and see if it's what you want. But that's all. I don't want only one of each opened. And if you're satisfied, I'll sell it to you. And the minute I sell it to you, it's your syrup. Oh, no, syrup would be all right, sir. And she was perfectly satisfied, but they never said a damn word this last spring. They bought the syrup somewhere else. So you never can tell about the public. I sold one woman potatoes here for probably 6-7 years. Were happy with those potatoes and the nicest potatoes she could get. One year she got a few poor ones. She never would buy another potato. So people, to accommodate the public, it's kind of a hard thing to do.
She never came back?
No, she never bought another potato to this day.
And she's still around?
Yeah. Yeah, lives right in town.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah, strange thing. Got potatoes for 6 or 8 years, something like that. And happened to get a, you can't tell, you're apt to get poor potatoes.
Sure.
They're apt to
agriculture
be
poor. Weather.
And potatoes, you might sell potatoes and they wouldn't keep tall. They'd rot like hell before spring. Well, you ain't responsible for that. You don't know how they're going to keep. If they're all good, clean, nice potatoes when you sell them, that's as far as you can go.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I've had people say, well, potatoes are bad. He never used to wash his buckets when he stored them. He'd always wash them just before he hung them out in the spring. Like other, they kept good. He had them for probably 30 years and then he sold them for 50 cents a piece. So they must have been all right to not wash them. But we always wash them just quick so we can get to them, late years. Years ago, we didn't used to wash them too good, but now we take off a couple of days and we wash them right up and get them right out of the way. It's just the time to do anything, you know. If you do it that time, you're all right. And if you keep putting it off and letting them lay around, pretty soon they get to where it's a hell of a job to wash them. This fellow that I was telling you about is about the 10,000 buckets there. Why, he let some of them brand new buckets practically spoil, all stained up, weren't washed, weren't taken care of. Washed them, took them all commission sale and sold some of them for 20 cents a piece. And a bucket, it'll cost you around $1.25 now, a 14-quart bucket. A sprout will cost you 26 cents, and a cup will cost you about 30. See the money you got in one bucket covering the sprout.
That's a lot.
You got almost $2 in a set.
And you'd want to have several hundred or a thousand out there.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's like having a tractor,
yeah.
A new tractor.
Yeah. I think I'm telling you right. Back in 19... Back in 1913, that we give 25 cents apiece for buckets, 8 cents for covers, and 6 cents for spouts. That's the difference. You can see the difference in the price. Everything is almost triple now. Yeah, the buckets would be better than 4 times as much today as was in that period of time. We still got buckets down there. It's in use from 1913. They're getting pretty thin, they're pretty light. Yeah, I've seen the auctions, anybody that had the money. I've seen good buckets sold for 10 cents a piece. Good galvanized bucket.
Are the buckets like the bucket you brought in from the barn? Are they galvanized like that?
The galvanized bucket, yeah.
That's a good quality bucket.
Yeah, you can't beat galvanized. They used to, back in the old days, they'd have a lot of tin. That's for galvanized, got into, before they put anything out, the galvanized. They was taken care of. They're nice buckets, you know. They'd have them big shiny, it'd be just as shiny as a bottle inside. But today, you take a tin bucket, hang it side of a galvanized bucket. You get a few warm days, your sap will sour in the tin bucket, white one sour in the galvanized. It'll keep much better in the galvanized. We got tin buckets down that sugar house. We ain't used for 5-6 years, probably. And then they, right after the war, I guess, about 46, 47, the state come out with a damn rigmarole that there was lead. When we used to plow this with horses, everybody plowed his own road down to the main road. We started right in here at the house and shoveled from here clear to Earl's. 4 feet, 6 feet in places, some places 8. And shovel every damn inch of the way.
Every time it snowed?
No, it wouldn't blow every time, but every time it blowed and packed it into the road, we'd have to shovel. No, I don't think we get quite as hard winters as we used to. I don't think we do. Hard enough. And they don't blow in so bad. Well, they fixed that road below Vail there.
Yeah.
They fixed that before they put the new road in. And built it up there, so it's got a chance to blow over more. They come up and plowed that one time, and two McCullough boys plowed it, two young lads. 5 or 6 times they went over that. And finally there was a brook running right down through the water while they'd plowed. And after it flowed, nothing but glare eyes. I bet there was in there 4 or 5 hours plowing that damn road there. I think it was a lot better.
This will be Wild Track Sound Reel number 2.
Yeah. but you can't get ahead of them.
No, I don't think so.
It's hard to understand them, too. The old saying is, nobody ever understood a woman. There might be quite a lot to that, too. But let them have their own way, and they think they're getting their own way, and you get along with them pretty good.
Yeah, in our house, Suzanne wants her own way, and it is her own way. We're going to a dinner tonight. The Plainfield Food Cooperative, they give, they buy $15,000 worth of food every month, wholesale, as far as Texas and Florida from the growers.
Yeah.
And they sell it at cost to 1,500 families.
Yeah.
Flour and stuff like that you can put in for it. Some of the prices are pretty good. So they have a dinner, a potluck dinner, once a month. So Suzanne cooked last month, so if we want to go, she said she's not cooking anything for this one. I got to get home by 5 o'clock and cook something.
Yeah, I know just how it is.
He knows how it is. He ain't had to cook for 8 years, so.
Well, you're a pretty good cook, I mean.
Yeah, but it gets monotonous after a while, 3 times a day.
Yeah, she's one of the best cooks. She's been at it a long time, and she's a good cook.
When you throw out food 7 years in a restaurant, you get used to it.
Yeah, she cooked practically anything and always comes out pretty good. But you know, my brother Harry, he can beat the average woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a better cook than the average woman. He used to, after my mother passed away, he used to do all the cooking here. My dad and 3 kids, smaller than he was. And then he went, years later, he went into service and they put him in the kitchen. He was cooking the army for 4 years. But he hates it. He don't cook any now. His wife has to do all the cooking. He won't cook now.
Mm-hmm. How you been?
Oh, kind of miserable some of the time. I guess I got the grip along with everything else.
Yeah, you look a little off color.
Yeah, I'm kind of picky. The last 2 or 3 days, I had quite a lot of gas and stuff.
You got the old truck over in the back field, can't get that started, so that sits over there.
Where's it stuck?
Over
in the back. It ain't stuck, it just won't run.
Would it help if I pulled it back here?
No, Arthur's coming up as soon as it warms up. He's going to put a set of points in it.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I started it up and it sounded like a washing machine.
Uh-huh.
And I run it over there and then I set it off and I cut a load of wood. And I got into it. It just started, but no power at all. And then all the ones she'd backfire through the carburetor. And then she got why she wouldn't start. So I think probably it's the points.
Is there a load of wood on it?
A small load, that's all.
Did you bring out the wood that we cut last week?
Yeah, I got that all out, yeah. Oh, I had just such a time with it. I started it up and I got down the corner and she didn't have power enough to go up in the woods and I run it down the road a little bit then. Got shifted around, tried to go in the other way and she wouldn't make it. Then I back and I got it cocked up. Boy, she wouldn't run then. I got some gasoline put into it and finally it just barely run. And I got it back up at the house and tinkered on it. And I got it going good enough so I went up and got the 2 loads. I got them out. Then I started up again here and it does the same damn thing. No power at all. I don't know how the valves are sticking or what it is. Backfire through the carburetor.
What year is that?
Well, it's 40, it says 48 on the motor. It was a replacement motor for a 50. I think it's a 48 probably put out in 48, probably was 49 motor. It's been a good old motor. She don't use any oil now. I'll get after Arthur after he get it going.
Yeah, if anyone can.
Yeah, he make a damn thing run, but it didn't run to do it. May have to take the head off and grind the valves.
Mm-hmm. That's what we did with the Volkswagen this week.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it's less power now than it had before.
Yeah.
It runs better, but it's less power.
I had a chance to buy a Volkswagen here. It was advertised in Chelsea. 150. You know the Brian Button?
Yeah.
That's the one he's got.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Offered it for $150.
You don't think yours will pass inspection?
I think I can get it by this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know. Volkswagen ain't just really what I want. You got to have something where you can still win 2 or 3 bags of grain and...
Yeah.
I want to get a load of baled hay somewhere or something. A Volkswagen wouldn't be very, very good for that.
No, it's true.
I put 10 bales of hay right inside of this one out here.
Mm-hmm. How long you had this one?
Be 4 years next May. Yeah. Had it given to me. I run it 4 years. Still runs pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'll try and get one similar to this later. Later years.
Mm-hmm.
They had one up in Duxbury for $100 that they'd cut off, made a little truck out of. But I didn't get up there. Probably when you get up there, it wouldn't be good enough to put on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Duxbury?
No. Matter of fact, if you're car hunting, call me up, I'll go up with you.
Yeah.
Well, that was in the co-op book.
Yeah, I don't imagine it probably was good enough put on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might be glad to get you someday if I hear of one that sounds pretty good.
Sure, if I'm around, I'll go.
Yeah.
Jim called up about one up the Stowe Hollow, but it was a 44, and that's...
44 International, and that's back pretty well. Kind of hard to get to buy it for it.
Oh, Adam Gifford, the fellow came over that day, the cameraman, he had a 62 or 3, and he had trouble.
Yeah. International?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim called up here, Don Trimble's the other morning. He called up the other morning. That's too old.
If you could get a later model like this, you could swap the wheels. Get spare parts out of it?
I think it'd take the same wheels.
That would be good, because you could, it wouldn't matter what the wheels or the tires look like, as long as you had these.
Yeah.
And other parts, too.
I didn't know, maybe I could get a 64, 65, pretty reasonable. It didn't have too good tires on it, you know, and then I could chuck these right onto it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure these fit right on. But anything that's good, you're going to pay for it now.
Yeah.
Warren Toon had a horse advertised this morning. What do you suppose you want for it? Weighed the 1,800?
A workhorse.
Yeah. $550? $525. One horse.
Young.
Well, I don't know. He didn't say. He didn't say what the age was. It must have been quite young, or else it's something fancy.
That would make $1,000 for a pair.
Yeah. Well, they're getting it now. $1,000 for a good, and more, I guess, for good match pair horses, young horses.
That's trained.
Huh?
That's a price for a team that's already trained.
Yeah.
To work.
Yeah, you take a good first calf heifer, good big Holstein. They're between $500 and $600 now. Selling them up at that sale up at the. What the hell is that sale?
Morrisville.
$500 and $600 a piece. Already dropped a calf.
Mm.
But I never would have any that valuable.
That's with papers and all that?
Well, no, I guess they don't have to be registered. Just grades. But it costs pretty well to raise them up 2 years there. See, if you're going to step out and buy a Holstein calf, just dropped, cost you $75. Just dropped. And then you're taking a chance on that calf getting sick or something before it gets started. And if you had to buy the hay and buy the grain and buy the milk to raise that calf, I don't know, but by the time it's 2 years old, ready to come in, you'd have pretty damn near that in it. 22 cents a pound for dried milk.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Grain, $7 and $8, $7 and a quarter, $7 and a half, $100. See the money you'd have in that before you get it all ready to sell. You wouldn't have too much profit.
How are Tom and Jerry doing?
Oh, eating their damned heads off. They get their grain twice a day in the hay and they ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd tickle them.
You were telling me about their teeth. About their teeth being worn?
Yeah, they're getting to be old horses. They don't eat so good as they used to, but they're cleaning up pretty good. They still get away with quite a lot of hay. When I first put them in the barn, I didn't know they were going to be eating them very much hay. They didn't seem to want it. But now they eat quite a lot. So I think I get through the winter all right.
They're inside now?
No.
They're still out in the field?
Yeah. In nights.
In nights?
Yeah.
They're willing to come in?
Yeah. Yeah, their tickle come in the other night after rain.
Yeah, man.
God, they couldn't get in the barn fast enough. But before that, they didn't want to come in. Nope, they don't want no part of it. And Tom turned right around the barn and come right out.
Well, freezing rain, that can change.
Yeah. They're quite jokers.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll be getting firewood out?
Yeah, for a great while, get a little more snow.
Yeah, because yeah. I think this is it now. I thought the other night it was snowing. That was
going
to be the snow.
I'm looking for you to lose it again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. I hope it goes in January 20th.
No, I want a white Christmas.
Yeah.
I want a white Christmas time.
Raymond Moulton was telling Suzanne that she forgot it by the time she got home. Something about a saying, if you have a green Christmas... 50 men in the dead in the ground by spring or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was the Green Christmas fat graveyards.
Yeah.
That means people die more than what if you had a white Christmas.
I don't know. People die when their time comes, and that's about all. God, you know, I was over there in the service, up on the front lines. You didn't die till the time came. You was in places where you could have been any minute, and still you went all through it. And your fellow on your right and on your left, they got it, and you didn't get it. Just you want your time to go, that's all. So I don't think that makes any difference. But that was an old saying. You always heard it. But I want a white Christmas anyway. I see four. It was Green Christmas. I don't like Green Christmas. Don't seem natural.
No, it doesn't. Four. That's not many.
Yeah. But it'd be better for everybody right now if you got a foot of good snow and got some nice weather.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be healthier. And you get around better. This ice and frozen ground, you can't do nothing on that.
Mm-hmm.
No, good for the snow, and we got a fellow downtown, he's crying for 2 feet.
What's his interest in Tufi?
He wants to sell his snowmobiles. He ain't had to sail all the ball.
Oh, that's right. I never thought of that. Yeah, until there's a good snow, Clarence doesn't sell anything.
And these ski resorts, they're crying for snow.
They make one third of their year's income Christmas week.
Yeah.
24th until January 2nd.
And they've got so much money invested, and it really hurts if they don't get it.
They haven't been able to make automatic snow, that artificial snow.
They just started up Stowe this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they thought they were going to be able to do a little something over this weekend. Saturday,
certain Sunday. Slopes are opened up today.
Yeah, they spray water out through hoses.
Yeah.
And by the time it comes down as snow. I've skied on it, and you ski on it, and there's 2 feet, 3 feet here, and over there it's green. And
God, if you happen to go off that and over where it is green, you wouldn't slide very good, would you?
No, go right over the rocks and ruin your skis.
I'll tell you about a thing that happened about like that when I was a young fellow. I was working down North Hatland, Vermont, in the woolen mill. And after we got a day's work done, after winter come, we take a Travis, get some girls, and take a Travis and go out sliding. Well, damn fools, we pulled this Travis through this covered bridge, and talking to the girls and not thinking anything about it, you know. Went clear up on the hill and turned around, what they call Miller's Hill. And we slid back and slid into that covered bridge. You can imagine that. Travis stopped, but we didn't. We picked slivers for a week. We just pulled that Travis through that damn covered bridge, never thought anything about it, went up and turned around and drove right back into it.
What's a Travis, though?
Oh, that's two sleds with a long, big board on it, and you get four or five people on it.
Oh, I've never seen one.
You never rode on one?
Been on toboggans.
No, this is Travis.
Like
two,
a double sled.
Two common sleds, one on front and one on the back, and a long board. And sometimes you get five, six, seven on it.
We've got one sled down there that goes on the Travis.
You get that heft, you know, five, six good kids. That's a lot of heft, and boy, they really get to going. And we slid down there where there wasn't no snow, and the damn thing stopped. Didn't hurt nobody, only we had slippers in our butts for 2 or 3 days, but it never hurt it, so all piled up in the middle of the bridge, you know. Yeah, every night we used to go sliding. I got to slide till pretty near midnight.
Wow, you need some moon.
We used to get some beautiful nights there, you know. Got to get clear up on Queechy Hill and come down into North Hatland. They go about 7 miles. And got gaining speed all the time, you know. And come right down, go right down by where the old woolen mill used to be, and then there was another hill right up steep. We go about 2/3 of the way up that hill, and then we'd pull the Travis up the top and turn around and slide about 2/3 of the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And God, that used to be pretty good. Used to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, Suzanne wants to go on a sled somewhere. There are a lot of hills around.
Yeah, most of the places, though, it ain't safe to put a sled on them because of cars.
Yeah.
And this hill from your place down through would be damn nice, but you ain't got no place to land.
Yeah, we'd go down to Earl's and turn off into a field.
Yeah, you go off into the field there. Or if you could fix it right there by Bill's.
Mm-hmm.
Right through Bill's dooryard and right out, take the fences out.
Mm-hmm.
And head right out through there. That would be good. God, I've been on skis. Get on skis out in dooryard. Ski clear in Chelsea. My God, man, maybe you think you want to whiz in some. If you'd ever hit a frozen horse turd or anything. The boy had had the skis before we got them. He lived up where Georgia Lyford does. And he done chores for his board. And they always kept him just late as they could. And he'd be late to go in school. He'd jump on them skis, have a dinner pail in one hand, wouldn't even have a ski pole or anything, and go down into Chelsea Village. And my God, sometimes really he was coming, you know. He'd go down and turn and go up by a drugstore and stop. One morning he was headed down, and he got right down by the jail. He hit a frozen horse turd right in the road. And his dinner pail went one way and he went the other in the skis. And when he ended up, he was right down, his head was almost under the school teacher's legs. He was looking up at her and she said, "You hurt?" "No," he said, "just my feelings." He still had his dinner pail in his hand. Oh, you could get to going like hell down through there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We used to have a Travis here. And we go to school and never get off of it. Go right down this big hill, down around the corner there. Put your feet down, kind of break it down a little bit. And go right into school, schoolyard down there.
School in the same spot as it is now?
Yeah, yeah. And then after a while, they put a stop to that because horses and stuff coming up the road. And they was afraid you'd hit the horses or something. Boy, when you one of them things really going, horses got to get out of the road. But I don't remember anybody ever hitting the horses or anything.
Everybody had horses then?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't see hardly any cars in the winter time. They didn't drive them in the winter. I used to use a tractor, a lag tractor, go to South Rowland, haul grain from South Rowland, Chelsea. That, I guess, is about the first vehicle. They used to haul it all with horses and stuff. But that was about the first vehicle, I guess, on the road, was that lag Fortune tractor. And then they started plowing the road, started using trucks and some cars, the mail used it. Just have this Fortune tractor and they run it right into a frame, let the wings down on both sides. And it would take probably putting there a day to plow to South Rowland back.
I've seen those frames.
Yeah. They used to plow up by here and plow to Berkshire. And it was putting there a day's run, plow from here to Berkshire and back.
They go up one way and turn around and do the other side.
Yeah. And then they come out with the diesels. And they really was a pretty good working outfit. They'd plow roads that they can't plow today. And I had some hay over here in the edge of Washington, up by where the Doyle boys live. It hadn't been plowed in there all winter. And we couldn't get across lots on account there was about a foot of snow on top.